if we relate the subject of our observation to something else. Actually, this is happens constantly every time we use our senses, our perception, and it's kind of an inescapable fact. I mean that anything we do, we observe, is always in context. In the case of a solo performer, of a virtuoso, this is more obvious. Music is a highly ritualized activity. It cannot be understood only one level. But one of the many functions of music is exactly that one of unifying different level of performance, perception, and also to condition our perception through a combination of different levels. So the solo performer, the virtuoso of music, carries with itself in himself an incredible history, an incredible past. And every time we hear a solo, we always relate his presence to this past. His presence in terms of the way the culture, society, community is using this performance, the meaning that this solo is conveyed because it's attached to a certain style, to a certain preference of repertoire, and so on. In composing this series of sequenza for flute, harp, piano, trombone, and voice, which I started in 1958, and I composed the last the trombone sequence in 1966, I had exactly this in mind, not only to compose a musical work, a sequence of sounds, a sequence of harmonic characters, a sequence of actions, but also a sequence of attitude in relation to a model, to an implied model, which is my own implied model. Maybe you have a different idea of performance. So this deals directly with the problem of organizing gestures and musical actions. In fact, because these five sequences are dealing not only with strictly musical relation, note-to-note relation. As a matter of fact, sometimes the idea of note is overcome. Sometimes it's not a question of notes, but sometimes it's a question of action, of groups of action, and so on. Because of these reasons, sequenza also can be listened to not only as a monodic pieces, as one could expect to happen in the most monodic instrument of all five, which is the flute, but always with an implication of polyphony. I mean, there are many musical processes that can be implied in what you hear, not implied in a kind of a strict deterministic way as in tonal music, that in a melody you imply a certain specific harmony, but to prepare the ground, to condition the listener so that he can contribute to imply certain situation. From a very practical point of view, I can say that in the flute sequenza, the tendency to transform a melodic type of perception into a polyphonic type is generally given by a fast alternation of antithetic, of almost contradictory mode of attack. Also, alternation of a certain noise of the instruments with a certain sounds of the instruments. And sometimes this is established also by the fact that the instruments can produce double stops. In the case of a sequenza for harp, there is a polyphony of actions, among which the most important is the action of the pedals that change the tuning of the instruments in addition to the articulation of the fingers, which is also developed to a greater extent in the piano sequenza, where there's a constant ever-present harmonic development underground through the use of sustaining pedal, and that sometimes is combined, sometimes emerges, becomes the main harmonic development on the keyboard. So this constant interaction between a secondary harmonic development, a primary one, pedal and keyboard. In the case of the sequence of a voice, the polyphony of actions, it's also obvious by the fact that is based on a sequence of vocal actions, each one suggesting also certain associations with the use of voice outside of strict so-called musical, strictly musical use of voice. And here, allow me a short digression in saying that we know I consider a nonsense, especially today, to establish in advance what constitutes a musical sound or not. Actually, one of the main functions of music today, I strongly believe, is to integrate more and more aspects of reality, and also to consider around us sound activity, but with the musical eye, so that one of the functions of music is to develop, to reveal certain implication, musical implication, which are latent in the sound world around us. The voice expressed this very well. We are used to consider the voice in relation to an instrumental model. In fact, the last two, three centuries of vocal music had given to us a vocal instrument, which is can be considered only in analogy to the instrument, in a qualitative smoothness of registers, possibility of enlarging more and more the register of the instrument and the type of articulation. I would say it from the Pierre Luner on, Pierre Luner meaning a work for the first time is concerned in developing a type of vocal music that exactly develops what is in between the speaking voice and the singing voice. In other terms, in quotes, what is the musical voice and no musical voice. From that moment on, the composer has been more and more concerned in using, integrating, and reevaluating musically all the aspects of the voice. In the sequence of her voice, in fact, we have a sequence of vocal actions which is based mainly from the model of laughter. You know, the laughter, in the vocal production of laughter presents certain similarity with a certain fast articulation of bel canto technique. Think of a coloratura technique. A certain shift in the register, a certain control of pitches. It's very easy to transform a laughter in a Lily Pons type of a vocalist. and so the main model, the vocal model of this sequence of action is the laughter. And the sequence, there is a recurrent kind of circular type of vocal actions. And at the same time, in an analogous way, there is a recurrent sequence of words. The words are, and this is a short text of Markus Kutter, a Swiss writer, are, give me a few words for a woman to sing, to build a house without worrying before night comes. This text in different orders, because this text can be divided in seven short phrases, each one with a self-sufficient meaning, the seven sequence phrases can be permutated, but all the text anyway comes several times in different order and always attached in a different way to the sequence of a vocal action. So the vocal action finally have the function of enlightening putting in evidence certain aspect of the text. So you have an independent development of vocal action and and the sequence of the words. In the case of a sequenza for trombone, the superimposition position of actions takes almost a literal a meaning. In fact, the piece is mainly based on a interaction between vocal sounds produced by the performer himself and the instrument and instrumental sounds. Interaction in the sense that, according to the harmonic nature of relation between the two tones, different tones or beats are produced. Sometimes the beats is developed as an amplitude device to produce amplitude modulation. I mean a periodical amplitude change, which is has its own type of development in the piece, and so that finally sometimes it's very ambiguous what is voice, what is instrument. This and other things are not only today the basis for a new approach to instrumental music, especially to solo performance, but also to music theater. In fact, especially the two pieces, the sequenza for voice and for trombone, are characterized by the a kind of theatrical development, by a reevaluation, if you want, of the performance with all the dramaturgical implication of his own acts. In fact, everybody is aware, especially now in our society, how important it can be for a performer to put on an act. Finally. But in a positive sense, this can be developed. The idea of reinforcing, developing the theatrical aspect of sequenza for voice and trombone was also given to me by I can call it childhood memory. In fact, beyond these two pieces lurks the memory of Grock. Adriano Bethac, for me, was the last great clown in Europe. He was my neighbor. He was living in a villa very close to the house where I was born. A very strange villa full of willow trees, pagodas, little lakes. And he died 6 years ago. And through all my childhood, because of closeness to his name, also. I suppose also because of the indifference of the adults around me, I never pay attention to him. I never knew exactly what he was. Until I was about 11, I had the fortune to be present at one of his performances in a small theater. And there I understood finally his genius. I remember that with my schoolmates, we used to steal oranges and tangerines from his garden. And after the performance, I didn't steal any more tangerines and oranges from his garden. He was a great man in the sense that his performance was extremely complex. It was not only astonishing for his acrobatic gifts, but for the way he was looking at himself also. In fact, one of the most famous moments of his performance, in the midst of a wonderful thing, like playing a small violin with gloves, and playing a piano very well, and jumping from the floor to a high chair like a flea, like a Chinese mime. And he was doing this even in his old age, when he was 70. But one of the greatest moments was when he was suddenly interrupting the performance. He was looking at the audience with a kind of strange, melancholic smile. And he was saying, "Warum?" He was asking, "Why?" And this "why" at the moment acquired incredible resonances. Why? why he was there, why we were looking at him this way. Should we laugh? Should we cry? Was it a typical act of estrangement? What finally was, and if you're familiar with the epic theory of theater, Brecht was developed to an extreme, to a degree, rationalizing for that. In fact, in a play by Brecht, when suddenly the action is interrupted and an actor, the lights change, an actor starts singing, the actor is not faking, is not making believe that he's still talking, but simply is giving music to his words. No, he wants to say, I'm stepping outside of myself and I tell you something else, I'm commenting on what happened before, and listen to me in a way that only a song can convey. This is very important in music today. If I mentioned before polyphony of actions, sequence of gestures, and so on, are all devices that allow the composer today to frame the musical performance, or musical, a meaningful musical structure in such a way that all the relations are eventually developed, more relational developed. You don't take anymore a musical piece or the performer as an object from which you expect what you have learned to expect, but you are contributing eventually to the meaning of what he's doing. A very simple schematic suggestion to approach all this for a musician can be to classify any musical performance, any model of musical performance, in six main classes, if you want. A performance, a sound, a musical structure where where the performance performs according to a typical model. For typical model, I intend something a cultural convention. As for a soprano singer, you expect a certain type of voice. For a tenor, you expect a certain type of voice, going high to the B flat or to the C. For a pianist, you expect a certain way of playing piano within a frame of reference, within a certain type of repertoire. Second class, modification that can be applied to this model, and insistently is always a cultural model. Modification, I know if you ask to a singer to produce a vocal sound with resonance in the nose, for instance, or to a mute in a certain instrument, according to the to the certain hobbies, prepare piano, for instance. Third classification, which considers the gestures. Gestures meaning an extremely meaningful action, so formalized that it's inescapably connected with a certain experience before. I'll give you an example, a cadence in tonal music is implied full and incredible long development of polyphonic and harmonic music. Or in outside of music, if think of how a child develops. A child that wants to be picked up by his father, the first time cries, the second time lifts his arms, the second time lifts one arm, and then maybe lifts only one finger. When we see to when we are aware of the transformation of this, we know that in the movement of this finger, there's all the experience that started long time before in the crying, the lifting two arms, and so on. So we are only in musical performance, solo music, we are constantly exposed to this type of gesture, to this type of implied history inside of a musical event. Then we can consider movement outside of the instrument or the voice. They are affecting the sound. This can be in the case of a vocal sequence, as you will see, a certain hand movements in front of the mouth in order to change the color characteristic of the voice or to introduce alteration in the dynamic, in the volume of the voice. Or body movements that are not affecting the sound, as a performer can walk while performing and can perform different type of gestures. I mentioned before that this is the very generalized, very sketchy idea of how a composer can look at the reality of sound and gestures. But we found already results in music theater. In consideration of this, we decided just a few minutes ago, I would say, to change the program tonight. You will hear the five sequenza for solo performance, and then you will hear a theater work of mine, which in a way develops in a theatrical way everything I said until now. Thank you.
Yeah. You won't find my Thank you. All right.